We're looking at Romans chapter 9. So if you have a Bible and you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, then the book of Romans, if you grab a Bible at the end of a row, it's on page 1138. Right? So Romans chapter 9, and Paul's talking to people in Rome who he hasn't met yet. And he hears, I hear you guys are Christian. I can't wait to get there. I really want to tell you what I know about this gospel. I want to impart to you something that you lack. When I get there, I can't wait to get there. And chapters 1 through 8, he's talking about the great need of humanity and the desperate strait that we're in as people. And then, but how wonderful what God has provided. And we're looking at Romans chapter 9, and he says this funny thing. He says, I'm speaking the truth. I'm not lying. You know, as if to say, hand to my heart, you know. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow, unceasing anguish in my heart, it says in verse 2. In verse 3, I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. We talked about that last week. If you missed it, you can listen to a podcast online. Paul's saying, I love the Jews. These are my people. Even though they're blinded to their Messiah and they killed him on that cross, even though they hate me and they persecute me in every town because of Jesus, I wish I could get them to knowing that Jesus is God. Anything I could do. Man, I wish I could get 100 or 1,000 more in heaven for the cost of one guy. And we could trade one for all of them. I would do it. Even if that guy was me, I would do it. Paul would go to hell, accursed, cut off, to save his people. That's how much he cares about these folks. And fortunately for Paul, that's not possible for him. That's not the deal. Nobody here, I mean, throw yourself on a grenade to save a room full of people, great, right? But anything we do doesn't save some other person from their relationship with God and the consequences of it. But that actually is the deal that God made through Jesus. Come to church, find out about Jesus. Psalm 32 says this, just the first verse, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That's good news, isn't it? He talked about that in a previous chapter in Romans. We've heard this before. We're forgiven in Christ. Did you already know that when you came here this morning? Well, how come you know it? Like, how do you know it? Is it dogma? I know it's true. I unpacked it once, and then I parceled it, and I keep it in my pocket. It's like my keychain. You know I got this. It's going to open the lock, right? How do you know what you know? I want to propose this morning that we just look at one of the places that is why we know what we know. So could you look at the Gospel of John chapter 11? It's about 1/4 inch to the left in where you're looking right now. So you want to take a bulletin or something, put it in Romans chapter 9, and you go to John chapter 11. If you have a Bible from the end of the row, it's on page 1083. John chapter 11. Jesus walking around on earth, talking to people. But in this bit, this tells us about a meeting other people had behind closed doors about how they were going to stop this Jesus guy. So it's kind of the same people who were after Paul in the book of Romans. These are the people who were after Jesus when Jesus was alive. Romans, John chapter 11, starting at verse 47. And you see, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, what are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. If we don't stop this Jesus from stirring things up, we're going to lose our jobs. The Romans are going to say, no more church. No, you cannot go into the schools because of the one who's talking about Jesus, who's talking about God and forgiveness. Except this is back in Jesus' day. In verse 49, one of them, Caiaphas, that's how you pronounce that in case you didn't know, who was the high priest that year, he said to them, you know nothing at all. Nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. you guys, you don't get it. This guy needs to die so we don't. That's what he says. And verse 51, this is like a narrator telling you, and it says he didn't say this of his own accord. But being the high priest that year, he prophesied. So when you're the high priest, you're set apart from the people. You're anointed with oil. You are set apart to God. God speaks through the high priest to people. We don't have a high priest walking around on earth with a funny hat, right? And a lot of clothes. And you say, there, that's the guy who talks, right? The scripture tells us our high priest is Jesus Christ. So there were high priests up until God said, I'll take that job back. Thank you very much. Listen to me. But at the time of the transition, there was this guy. Has the Holy Spirit using him to speak to people. Meanwhile, he is in his heart as a human being against Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He doesn't get it. But God is still using him to speak to other people. And look what it says. It says he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. And 52 tells you what you need to know. And not for the nation only, the Jews, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. Everybody, anybody who says, I need to find out about God. God, what am I like? Please help me. Every one of those people, God says, yeah, come here. We've worked it out. I'm glad you asked. That's me inside you, pricking your conscience so you'll find out more. Come here. Come here. And so verse 53 says, from that day they made plans to put Jesus to death. So Jesus died for all of we, people of God, right? We're forgiven in Christ. It's wonderful for those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And Jesus died for all of we, the people of God.